What happens when the foundation of your entire identity shatters? Picture sitting in church at 16, publicly marked as unclean, barred from sacrament for the sin of being human. This wasn't rebellion. It was the beginning of a 20-year odyssey through the ruins of certainty. The journey from Orthodox Mormonism to angry atheism to paralyzing nihilism reveals something profound. We're living in a spiritual no man's land, caught between the suffocating certainty of religion and the cold emptiness of pure rationalism. Most of us exist in this uncomfortable middle ground, too intellectually honest for supernatural fairy tales, yet too human to accept that life is just meaningless atoms bumping around. We've outgrown the old stories, but what replaces them? Think of spirituality as three distinct doorways, each promising answers but delivering something different. Religion offers the comfort of absolute certainty. Follow these rules, believe these stories, and you'll be saved. It's no accident that humans evolved religious tendencies. Our ancestors, who saw patterns and agency everywhere, survived better than those who didn't. When lightning struck, believing an angry God caused it motivated you to seek shelter. Religion hijacks our pattern-seeking brains, offering structure in a chaotic universe. But that certainty comes at a cost: shame, exclusion, and the constant terror of getting it wrong. The second door leads to the occult: tarot cards, astrology, crystals, and manifestation. This path exploded during the pandemic, with 1 in 5 Americans now consulting mediums or using divination tools. It's the Christianity to witch pipeline, filling the gaps left by patriarchal religions with feminine energy and intuitive wisdom. There's real value here. These practices tap into something genuine about human psychology and our need for ritual. But when intuition becomes mistaken for objective truth, when Mercury retrograde explains away our failures, we've simply traded one set of unfalsifiable claims for another. The third door is atheism, the intellectual high ground that rejects all supernatural claims. Statistically, it's the safest bet. Throughout history, supernatural explanations have been consistently replaced by natural ones, never the reverse. Yet atheism's fundamental limitation is devastating. It only tells you what isn't true. It tears down, but builds nothing. Standing in the rubble of deconstructed faith, surrounded by the debris of meaning systems that no longer work, atheism offers no blueprint for reconstruction. This is where the real crisis begins, not in losing God, but in facing the terrifying freedom that follows. Death, freedom, isolation, and meaninglessness, these are the monsters that wake you at 3 a.m. Unlike other animals, we know we're going to die, and this knowledge shapes everything. Terror management theory shows we'll do almost anything to avoid confronting mortality: build monuments, join movements, have children. But research reveals that truly facing death doesn't paralyze us. It clarifies. Priorities rearrange, petty concerns evaporate. Freedom terrifies us more than we admit. We're desperate to surrender autonomy to someone: a guru, a political movement, a charismatic leader, anyone promising certainty. Existential isolation might be the cruelest truth. No one can ever truly know what it's like to be you. That unbridgeable gulf drives us to sacrifice individuality for conformity. Yet here's the paradox: the opposite of belonging isn't being alone, it's fitting in. True belonging requires first belonging to yourself. When you accept mortality, personal responsibility, and fundamental aloneness, you face the ultimate question: if there's no cosmic purpose, why bother? The answer? Removing yourself only spreads more suffering. There's a piece of heaven on earth that only you can build. Religions understand what secular culture has forgotten. Humans need rhythm. We need markers that transform ordinary time into sacred time. The liturgical calendar gives life a heartbeat: seasons of reflection, celebration, mourning, and renewal. When you leave religion, you lose this structure. But rituals work even when you know they're made up. Studies prove the act itself, lighting a candle, writing in a journal, gathering with loved ones, creates psychological benefits regardless of supernatural beliefs. Consider a morning ritual: lighting a candle, writing 3 pages of stream of consciousness thoughts, clearing mental space. or secular holidays. Thanksgiving focused on gratitude, winter solstice celebrating renewal. For transitions, ceremonies mark milestones, celebrating a daughter's first menstruation with gifts from important women, acknowledging her entrance into womanhood without shame. The beauty of secular rituals lies in their authenticity, designed for your specific needs rather than inherited from tradition. Awe is what people mean when they say they felt God, that overwhelming sense of being part of something vastly greater than yourself. Scientists have identified two components, perception of vastness and need for accommodation. You encounter something that transcends your understanding, and your worldview must expand to contain it. Standing beneath a star-filled sky, witnessing childbirth, experiencing profound art, these moments dissolve the boundaries of self. Research shows awe decreases self-centeredness, increases pro-social behavior, and quiets the default mode network where self-representation occurs. This is transcendence without supernatural claims. Contemplation transforms momentary awe into a spiritual way of life. But contemplation includes countless paths: stillness practices that quiet the mind, generative practices like loving-kindness meditation, creation through art and music, movement from yoga to dawn surfing, even activist practices like vigils and social justice work. Gen Z increasingly finds spirituality through activism, becoming part of something larger by fighting for change. According to research, spirituality is about 71% environmental, but 29% innate, inscribed in your genetic code. Your ability to connect to life's story is an essential part of your humanity. No one can take it from you. In the beginning, God was a woman. The Venus of Willendorf, carved 28,000 years ago, depicted exaggerated female forms symbolizing fertility and life-giving power. Then agriculture arrived around 10,000 BCE, and everything changed. Men claimed roles in plowing and herding, land became property, and gods transformed from female to male, symbolizing power and hierarchy. Male deities took over creation itself. Woman now came from man, instead of man from woman's womb. This wasn't just theological revision, it was the erasure of feminine power from the cosmic order. For thousands of years, men have defined spirituality, creating internalized devaluation in women. While men benefit from ego-dissolving spiritual practices, women often need the opposite. Women are taught from childhood to be obedient, to access God through men, to make themselves smaller. Spiritual practices that further dissolve the ego can be harmful when you're still building one. True feminine spirituality exists in daily life: text chains with girlfriends, yoga classes, gardening, caring for family. These embodied practices are dismissed as mere social activities when they're actually profound spiritual work. The sacred feminine offers everyone the right to walk their own sacred path. It allows women to exist authentically and pursue dreams without permission. It invites men to reconnect with intuitive, relational aspects that rigid masculinity forbids. The revolution isn't making women more like traditional spiritual seekers. It's recognizing that women have been doing spiritual work all along. We just stopped calling it sacred. When meaning collapses, you enter what Dante called a forest dark. The straightforward path is lost. Leo Tolstoy faced this at the height of success, struggling with nihilism so severe he removed rope from his house to prevent suicide. Albert Camus identified this as philosophy's primary question: is life worth living? He offered three options: withdraw consent through suicide, commit philosophical suicide by clinging to unexamined beliefs, or embrace the absurd. Embracing the absurd means recognizing life's inherent meaninglessness while creating personal meaning anyway, like playing a video game for joy rather than completion. This transforms nihilism from paralyzing despair into liberating freedom. Alexander Solzhenitsyn exemplifies this. Sentenced to 8 years in Soviet labor camps while battling cancer, he witnessed humanity at its worst. Yet seeing others maintain moral courage inspired him to document the camp's horrors, work that helped erode Western support for the Soviet Union. Viktor Frankl showed that meaning emerges through personal choice. The freedom to choose your attitude, even when everything else is stripped away, prevents despair. Your breathe conscious experience matters precisely because it's temporary, because it's yours, because you chose to create meaning despite knowing it will end. We are stardust that became conscious, atoms forged in dying stars, assembled into beings capable of contemplating our own existence. The calcium in your bones, the iron in your blood, the oxygen you breathe, all created in stellar furnaces. You are the universe experiencing itself, a brief flash of awareness in an otherwise unconscious cosmos. Yet our modern world faces a spiritual crisis, with young people encountering nihilism and existential questions earlier than previous generations, without supportive community structures to guide them. Research offers hope. Spirituality dramatically reduces depression, existential angst, risky behaviors, and suicide more effectively than medication, regardless of organized religion. The quality of relationships determines physical health and happiness more than any other factor. Yet secularism lacks the community infrastructure that religions provide, places offering resources, education, mentorship, and belonging. The solution isn't recreating religion without God. It's building authentic community that embraces our whole selves, the doubts, questions, and messy humanity that religious communities often require us to mask. This requires vulnerability, the birthplace of trust and belonging. Creating your own community demands more effort than showing up at an established institution, but it allows alignment with your values and often leads to deeper, more authentic relationships because they're chosen rather than inherited. The future of spirituality creates space where we help one another cope with life's realities and walk hand in hand toward our mortality, appreciating our brief witness to an amazing cosmic story. We don't need cosmic significance to find meaning. We need connection, ritual, awe, and the courage to face existence without comforting lies. In a world selling certainty in pills and enlightenment in apps, we've forgotten the most revolutionary act, building a life so meaningful that its eventual forgetting doesn't matter. Your consciousness is a miracle, temporary, fragile, utterly unique. The question isn't whether life has inherent meaning, it's whether you'll create meaning anyway, knowing it's temporary, knowing it's yours. That's not nihilism, that's freedom. In a meaningless universe, creating meaning becomes the most defiant, most human thing we can do. We've outgrown the old stories, but we're discovering something more powerful, the ability to write our own. The path forward requires courage to face reality as it is and creativity to build something beautiful within it. That's the revolution. Not finding meaning, but making it. Not discovering purpose, but creating it. Not waiting for salvation, but building heaven on earth, one conscious choice at a time.